Sam Gum was once just a dream. He says he loves you. He says it with meat. He comes to buy a meat wreath, and he makes a cider out of beef. He's thinking about his meat cape. He says he's waiting for that garbage ape. The meat fairy's coming along. So Heathcliff, won't you play your meat song? Whoa.
Hello, welcome to Meatcast. My name's Nick. With me, as always, is Kyle. Kyle, how's it going?
It's going good, Nick. How are you?
I'm all right. Anything, any news this week?
Any news?
Yeah, you got
personally
any news?
or globally?
Oh, let's not get into global news. I don't think there's any good global news.
No news with me. I had a show on Friday night that I absolutely bombed. It was one of the worst bombs I've ever had. It was great. It was very exhilarating.
Yeah, I saw your Instagram story about that.
Yeah.
Let's bring in our guest. He's the creative person behind Fight Opera, the local wrestling organization. Mike Luxembourg. Lux, thanks for joining us.
Hey, hello. Wow, I've never had... I can't remember the last time I was on a podcast where someone used my actual name to introduce me. This is...
Should I not have? I don't know.
Do whatever you want. It doesn't make sense. I wasn't offended. It was just like a novel experience.
We are very inside the actor studio, very NPR. Yeah. We like to get everybody's real proper credentials.
Getting
out there.
Big Lipton vibes off of y'all for sure.
I hear that all the time.
I'm sure. I mean, how could someone not say it? As soon as I logged in,
I hear it all the time. But I hear it all the time. But people are usually talking about the tea.
Yeah, right. Like just a little bit of lemon. You give me that vibe of just a little bit of lemon. Hello, thank you. I'm excited to be here. I'm sorry your show bombed. I'm glad you can embrace it as exhilarating, because every time I've bombed a show, it's like kind of thrilling.
Yeah, it's exciting. I mean, I tried to do some minor clowning, and
wow.
I mean, in that it was just like I went out without really anything prepared other than just like the character I was going to do, and then was planning on getting some, you know, working with the audience, working with the show host and seeing what we could come up with, and just absolutely dead on both counts.
Wow. But that's
after nothing back.
You describe it as clowning, but that just sounds like improv, right?
Yeah, it's like clown influenced improv, because it's not it's opening up the fourth wall. It's not coming in with like I guess that is improv, but it's mainly the fourth wall thing. And also kind of approaching it with the spirit of like I wanted to fuck up the show. Like I wanted to kind of ruin the rhythms of the show and kind of be doing like a late night interrupter bit, and it just absolutely was nothing. Zero, zero, zero back from the audience. Had a couple walks.
Oh, during your set they walked?
Not during mine, but
as soon as you left the stage.
In between, yeah, when I was in the bar area talking with the theater employees, like, wow, we're really stinking it up out there. Just like two or three people walking out.
They didn't know they'd have to walk past you. Yeah,
that's the trap. That's the improv theater trap. So when I have bombed some shows, because I also like to do things occasionally straight up antagonistically to the audience.
Mm-hmm.
And I obviously it doesn't feel great, but it is, like you said, thrilling in the sense of like you're falling, but you can't see the ground, and you're just kind of like wondering how far this hole can possibly go.
Yes.
Like, surely there will be something that stops this descent, and it just never comes. That it is a really crazy feeling. But it is kind of fun.
Yeah, it's great. It's like I've been on stage in like plays and completely forgotten my lines before. And that's terrifying, obviously, but always in the back of your mind, you're like, well, there's a map. I just have to find my way back to the road. You know, like I know there's somewhere I'm supposed to be, but I don't know. When you go out and you have like a character bit planned and your first little thing is just like complete silence, and then you know you're coming back two more times after that. It's that like rules. Oh Christ. But it was exciting because it's like, oh, let's see if like next time I'll be able to get them with that. And you know, you can get a little bit, it was like pulling a, I was getting a few laughs here and there, you know. It wasn't like totally dead, but it was clearly they were not super into it.
So not every clowning bit is like antagonistic, right? Like that, right? Like,
no.
Do you have like a clown character? Did you build your clown? Is that how it works?
No. The character was just, the show's like a late night talk show, you know, like a pretty classic, like late night live stand ups come out, get interviewed. And my bit was, I was just playing the technical director for the show, who was just going to come out and always be like, you know, adjusting lights or moving plants and stuff, just doing something with the host, hoping that like we would discover, you know, an antagonistic relationship in that, or like find some sort of relationship between me and the host or me and the audience, either where they were like, they loved me and were excited for me to like come and interrupt, or they hated it. Like if they had hated it stronger, that would have been great. It was the fact that they were like, okay, this guy again.
The opposite of love is indifference, Kyle.
Yeah. That's right. That's right.
To them, it was Tuesday.
Well, Lux, this is a podcast about Heathcliff. What do you know about Heathcliff? About the old
cat,
comic strip cat. Yep.
Key cat. Wears a helmet. Sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes, yeah.
Likes meat.
Oh, yeah.
In my head, I associate Heathcliff with, like, the fish skeleton.
Yeah, a lot of people do.
Like, but I don't think that's right. I think I'm doing it.
You're on the right track, yeah.
Okay, does he do that? Because, like, I feel like it's a conflation of, like, me lumping, like, Tex Avery and, like, what's his name? Like, Tex Avery and, oh, my God, Bob Clampett, like, and like overlaying that over Heathcliff.
Bob Clampett from the Beverly Hillbillies?
No, that's Jed Clampett.
Oh, who's Bob Clampett?
Bob Clampett's an animation director.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, because it's like a single panel comic strip, he doesn't typically like put the fish in his mouth and pull out a skeleton, but he often is carrying fish skeletons around.
Like okay. That's, and so he would that's... do and he would do it on his cartoon.
Oh, probably,
for sure.
Yeah.
Where he was voiced by Mel Blanc, so It's
yeah. There. So okay. Sense. So there
it's
is
all part of the same lineage.
Yeah. I mean, Mel Blanc, classic collaborator with Avery and Clampett. Okay. And this is all starting to add up to me. It's just like it's hard to tell if you're me and you have a bad memory, but you watch a lot of cartoons, sort of like where one stops, where one ends, especially because there's so much collaboration between people. So I get confused, but this is good to know. So that's basically. I also like Heathcliff. Comics to me are often like joyfully inscrutable, where like it's an image that isn't funny on its own with text that like makes it more confusing, and the joy I get from them is often being like, what was supposed to happen here? What am I not seeing? And I guess that's my exposure to Heathcliff. I'm a little more up on it lately because my friend Josh, who maybe you met, Nick, is an old PWR wrestling guy, had a really intense Heathcliff phase where, despite me being like, Josh, please stop sending me Heathcliff panels all the time, he kept sending me Heathcliff panels. So I had, like, a couple of years ago a stretch where I was, like, not by choice, but, like, by force, like, engaging with Heathcliff pretty regularly.
Okay, well, we're going to force you to engage with some more Heathcliff comic strips in this next episode. Here we go.
This week on Heathcliff.
So I think this is a great one. This is from May 3rd. Heathcliff is in the living room standing in front of a bird in a cage. And Heathcliff has got his arms around his back, and he's just staring up at the bird. And the bird is saying, I wish I weren't so appetizing. So Heathcliff's going to eat the bird. And that's at least what the bird thinks. And the bird thinks it's because he's so delicious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
High confidence on this bird.
Yeah, that's true. Know? Yeah.
I like.
I the don't bird. Feel. I never feel that way.
Yeah, the bird.
Oh, come on, Nick.
Misunderstands its own social position. I think, like, the bird thinks that it's in a cage to protect it from Heathcliff, but that's not like that. You don't put a bird in a cage to protect it from your cat. You put a bird in a cage so it can't fly away. Right, the bird's thinking like, oh, I'm safe here in my gilded cage from this cat, but really it's trapped there, and I think that's a fun.
It's keeping it from being the best version of itself.
Yeah, I think it's a fun dynamic.
That cage isn't going to keep Heathcliff out. I don't think. I think Heathcliff's going to eat that bird.
He's gonna figure it out. Those bars are pretty wide set. I think he can slip his little paws in there.
The stand for that cage is also fucking crazy.
It's wild, yeah. It's
nuts. I love it. That's like a great piece of furniture. It's like it's a straight line that runs about a third of the height of the cage, and then a humongous loop comprising the other two thirds of its height, with the cage just dangling from the hook.
It's like a huge version of a hair on a bald comic character's head.
Yes.
You know, like a Charlie Brown hair or something.
It is a giant Charlie Brown hair. And it raises a lot of questions about how heavy is this cage. Because, like, I feel like if the cage weighed, like, anything, it would just fall.
Yeah, yeah. Like, lean back.
Yeah. I think this bird's... I think I like to laugh at this bird's misunderstanding of its own sort of life.
Also, just out in the middle of the floor, you know.
Yeah.
Sort
of not where I would
centerpiece.
Not where I would put it.
Put the bird.
You know, my parents used to have a bird. Rest in peace.
Oh, this is great, Lux. This is great to hear, because we like to use these comics to get to know our guests. So please go on.
My parents used to have a bird. Rest in peace to Tippy. We had other ones. There was Giggles, who died when I was very young. Tippy died recently. And my mom would always let Sippy out of the cage on Passover. I'm Jewish. Because it's like the holiday about freedom and like liberation. So she'd let the bird out of the cage.
Wow.
And the bird would, without fail, poop on my mom during the Seder, like, every time.
Wow.
That bird was rad. I love Sippy. Was a good bird. It seems like it's also yellow. So similar type of bird. I don't know. But yeah, this reminds me very strongly of my parents' house and their bird that they would allow to poop on them once a year.
That's great.
You're
free for, like, you're celebrating
a
your
little
faith.
Bit. You get a little taste of it, yeah.
By giving them a day-long taste of freedom, then back into the cage for the bird.
Yeah, exactly. It was like, look, during the Seder, like, for a couple hours, for 2 days, you get to run around, do whatever you want, which I guess is poop on my mom and then sit on her shoulder. And then back in there.
It's sitting there year-round, you know, thinking, I can't wait to poop on that. Poop on her.
Yeah, I'll get her this time.
you have no birds? Was that what you were saying?
Yeah, I was saying my family never had birds growing up. I had friends that had birds, and it's one of my earliest memories of just being over at a friend's house and being like, these people are weird. Yeah.
It is weird to have a bird.
Thinking that this family's weird for having a bird. It's like, it's loud. It stinks. I can smell the bird stuff. You know, like, these don't belong here.
It's trapped in such a small space. Like, you don't keep a dog in, like, such a small crate, you know? Yeah. I guess some people do. Not
some people
day.
Do, yeah.
That's how we got Noodles, is that someone was keeping him in a crate and he hated it. They had to get rid of him, and so now he lives in our house.
I hate that. I hate the crates. I hate the crate, Jerry. It's a little George for you. Lux, do you like to eat birds?
Yeah.
Specifically chicken, turkey.
I do.
Those are the big two.
When you're talking birds, I think number one seed is chicken.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, when it comes to birds you eat, chicken is sort of top of the
chicken's
pops
king.
There.
Yeah.
Like, chicken is to birds as, like, Red Panda is to NBA halftime performers. Like, just there isn't anyone doing it like them.
Now, is number two actually turkey, or is this maybe your American sensibilities? I feel like duck is globally, perhaps, very popular bird.
I was going to say, I think that...
I don't know.
In my life, I've definitely been around turkey as a food more than duck. I think that might be Americocentrism.
Yeah.
But I do think duck is tastier than chicken or turkey. And I think that's true. And so if I had my druthers, I'd eat a duck. I've heard goose is good. Never tried it. I like quail, but they're so little. The bird I really want to eat is the illegal French bird, the ortolan.
The one where you put the cover over your head?
Yeah, you have to put a cover over your head because God will be mad at you if he catches you eating that sweet little bird.
Yeah. The idea is that it's so decadent that you put a towel or napkin over your head when you eat it to hide your shame from God.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I would really like to do that. it's illegal is a problem that I run into in my pursuit of this goal.
Yeah. Why is it eating like a whole bird. Like, it's not alive or anything, I don't think. No. But it's you like put the whole bird in your mouth, like much like Heathcliff with a fish skeleton.
Yeah.
It's like you put the whole bird in your mouth and then just pull the the bones out, maybe.
You like, I don't eat know. Some of the bones too.
Oh, like the KFC commercial.
Yeah, it's like the KFC commercial. But then
you whip the napkin off your head. I ate the bones!
Yeah, just throwing it back. The reason I think it's illegal is that I think people in France were just like, this is gross and weird. Like, we shouldn't do this. And so they just like made a law about it. I guess it's like legal in other places because like it's like... one of my, you know, I direct videos for a philosophy YouTube channel. It's my day job. And one of my favorite philosophers. I
can't believe that's a day job. That's,
I do other stuff.
That's great.
I do other stuff at the same company, but that's my main thing. But like one of my favorite philosophers, Gilles Deleuze, talks about how like you don't make laws banning things that no one wants to do. Like, you only make a law once people are already doing the thing. So, ortolan's not illegal, like, in the U.S., because no one here does that. So, like, if I could get the tiny bird, like, to my house, that would be fine. But the problem is that it's illegal, you know, where it actually happens.
Yeah. And the birds know that now, so they're staying away from the... They're all located in France.
Yes, they all have little berets and long cigarettes.
Yeah, they're like, this is safe for us. Yeah. We can't go anywhere else, because they'll just start eating us there.
Yeah, because we're tiny and tasty. That's our two things.
They're so appetizing. They wish they weren't so appetizing.
Maybe that's this bird.
Wow. Oh, yeah, maybe this one is. Yeah,
really good full circle conversation. Impressive work.
Ortolan, is that what it's called?
Yeah,
okay, Ortolan. So Lex does like eating birds. Let's move on to a comic from May 4th. Okay, this is May 4th, Star Wars Day, and so we're celebrating with a sort of a support group with a big sign in the back saying living with fleas. And there's a human woman sitting next to a dog, Spike, and Heathcliff is standing between the woman and an Ewok sitting in a chair and Chewbacca sitting next to the Ewok. Could be Wicked Ewok. Could be just any Ewok. I wouldn't say for sure, but I think that's Chewbacca.
I think it's fair to say it's Wicket, right? It's got the same. He's got the same kind of hat.
You have like just as many clues that that's Wicket as you do that that's Chewbacca. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
true. That's so true.
I mean, Chewbacca's wearing his classic bandolier with, I guess maybe it has blaster bullets in there. Do blasters?
Yeah.
Have
what's
bullets?
He keeping?
Doesn't
that
he
bandolier?
Have like a bowcaster? Isn't that his gun?
That's true. Yeah.
Huh. So it's like
he's got extra
there.
Batteries for his bowcaster.
Yeah,
but the group leader is saying the woman is saying this is a judgment free zone. I also say Heathcliff kind of has his head in his hands as though he's upset, ashamed.
Yeah, it's really concerning. It's an upsetting pose.
I think he's ashamed of the fleas that he lives with.
Yeah, yeah. Poor guy. Are we sure that's Spike? Because he looks so docile. Normally, when we see Spike, his eyes are way bigger, you know, and he's a little more ferocious. But
maybe they have a ceasefire in this support group.
If it is Spike, then I'm upset at that as well because he's
lost his fire.
You know, cowed by having fleas.
Yeah. I mean, I think the whole all four of them, frankly, look a little like. a little down. Like Chewbacca's eyes, sunk into his head, and he's just got like an expressionless mouth, like kind of staring into the middle distance. And Wicket sort of has his mouth open and also has no pupils, much like
Wicket looks happy.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true.
Wicket Wicket either looks happy or like Wicket's kind of giving me the vibes on, I guess, like what am I thinking of? Just sort of like Wicket looks like he's like excited to get to talk about this. That like he's doesn't have this is like good for him therapeutically. And Chewbacca just like doesn't care.
Chewbacca also has Homer Simpson mouth.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah. That's the thing about it. That's, that was getting me. That's absolutely what it is.
Kind of like a 5 o'clock shadow.
Yeah. Does Chewbacca shave?
It looks like he shaved everything around his mouth and then just left the rest of it. Which might be a style choice and might be the flea. He might have just had to shave that patch because that's where the fleas are. And that's why he's so ashamed.
It is like a reverse beard, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chewbacca also kind of... The energy I'm getting off of Chewbacca is very, like... I live in a spaceship that is, like, constantly being shot with lasers. I don't care if I have fleas. Like, this, like, Chewbacca looks like he's here on, like, a court order. Like... Like, someone was like, you're legally mandated to go get your flea shit looked at, and he's just like, I just need to get back on the Falcon. Like,
Mon Mothma was like, look, stop coming to these briefings. Every time we leave these briefings, we're all scratching and itching ourselves. Chewbacca, you gotta get to a meeting.
We're all crowded into a series of interconnected underground bunkers. Like, it's not, you have to like have some respect for the people around you, Chewbacca. Like, you gotta get in there.
So we never saw Chewbacca take a shower once.
Yeah.
That's true. Did we see
any of the Star Wars
movies? Did we see anybody take a shower? I guess maybe, I mean, we can assume that like Leia and Han kind of, you know, did something in that shower, right?
Yeah.
But Nick, why would you go there?
People are in shoes and stuff, which is like more like a shower.
What a weird leap, Nick.
Well, I'm just saying, I mean, maybe before Luke found out, you know, maybe he's
so nasty,
too.
Dude. Yeah, it's nasty.
Like, how big are those showers? Maybe we can fit
it's
all
not
three
even
of
what there, you know? It's not the main thing I think of a shower for. You know what I like? People have to, like, you know, people get
there's
dressed.
So many other things, yeah.
I bet Wedge gets in there before he hops in the X-Wing, you know?
Yeah, yeah, him and Luke, you know.
Maybe Wedge and Nien Nub get in there.
Now, you like Lux, you said that Chewbacca lives on the Falcon. Do you think how much time do you think he spends on the Falcon? It's like pre A New Hope. Like,
I feel like
are they just on the Falcon all day? Like is that basically where they live? Do they also have like a residence somewhere, or do they spend time in like hotels when they're on
just live on the Falcon, right? Like, there's like a kitchen there. Wow. There's a cool space chessboard. Like,
yeah, if I had like a ship like that, if I were in that situation, I probably would just want to live on the ship.
Really?
Because it's cheaper, right? I'm gonna pay, you know, hotel fees at Mos Eisley every time I stop by Tatooine. That shit adds up.
Yeah, I'm gonna.
You can't afford to buy a condo in, you know, in all the places you're going.
I'm gonna drive my flying house to Coruscant and then pay for an Airbnb. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah,
that's, you know, and they're not
like
rich.
Get really like,
you know.
Yeah, that's true.
They're smuggling.
Like, it seems like they owe a lot of people money.
Yeah, they're in debt all the time. Like. There's nothing, even if...
That's right.
Even if... I think it's fair to assume that a lot of people with big spaceships in Star Wars sleep in their ships, but even if that isn't a normal behavior, I'm confident Han and Chewie do. Because, like, they're not doing well when we meet them. Like,
that's
they take two, like, a weird desert wizard and his young friend show up, and they're like, can we get a ride for some money? And they're like, whatever, sure. We'll keep, like, sounds like a good gig. Like... They're not top end dudes.
How long does it take Luke to get from Hoth to Dagobah? Is that like days?
I mean, he's at hyperspeed. So, no, it wouldn't take days, right?
You don't think so?
I mean, there is that shot of him like in hyperspace, And I've always thought of hyperspace as like almost instantaneous. But there are shots of like people traveling in Star Wars. Yeah. Like they're in like the tunnel or whatever.
In A New Hope, like it takes them a while to get to wherever they're going. The Death Star.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't the have death, a yeah, galactic map.
Alderaan.
On deck.
Anyway.
So they're headed to Alderaan. Yeah, I assume it takes a little bit of time. Yeah.
But I was just gonna say it must be uncomfortable in that X-wing.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, that's got to be a nightmare.
Who's the water cooler at the back for?
I guess the woman, the lone woman.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I guess Chewie.
Well, I mean, these guys drink water. What are you guys talking about?
I just like Chewie could operate it probably. I'm 50-50 on Wicket, and then like I don't know. Setting up I have two dogs and a cat, and I would never set up a water cooler for them. I guess is what I'm trying
Listen,
to do that.
If Heathcliff can sculpt robot nudes, he can operate spigot on a water dispenser.
Yeah, I guess if you think about it from like a Maslow's hierarchy of needs perspective, I think that checks out. that makes sense. If he's cultivated those other skills.
All right, well, let's move on to, we'll skip this one, because we're going to talk about something. And this is May 6th, and this is the beginning of a theme week. Let's see if we can spot what the theme is of these Heathcliff comic strips. But here we have May 6th. Oscar the Grouch is sitting in his garbage can. Heathcliff is next to Oscar, sitting on top of his overturned garbage can with a fish skeleton in his mouth.
There we go.
Very smug look on his face, yeah. And in the background, there's a couple of garbage men, and one of them is saying, they're not so much friends as colleagues.
So. That's interesting.
And the other one's wearing a cowboy hat.
Yeah, a little tiny cowboy hat. The first one's wearing a crown, I guess. A little tiny black crown.
I think that's his hair.
Little Jughead crown.
Is that his hair?
I don't think it's a Jughead crown. Like, if it's a hat, it is a Jughead crown, but it's got to be his hair.
I don't know. I mean, he's got three little hairs on the other side of his head.
It might be like a mohawk, I guess.
Yeah, or like maybe. The undercut? Maybe it's like a Repo Man situation.
Yeah.
What do you think? So they're colleagues. What would you call this job?
Yeah.
Like
garbage consumer?
Yeah. They're like trash tenders. They like watch
trash tenders.
They just like watch tenders. Over garbage.
Waste consultants.
Yeah. Yeah, they're mafia guys. Oh,
wow, yeah. We're waste consultants.
Has that been done before that Oscar the Grouch is in the mob and that's why he's always in a garbage can?
Oh, maybe. Could be. I don't recall, but surely, I mean, when James Gandolfini guested on Sesame Street, surely they tried it.
When we were kids, were there all these guest stars on Sesame Street? Did they get like...
Oh yeah.
I mean, I don't remember them as a, cause you're a kid. You're just who's this? Yeah. Yeah.
Wink Martindale. Who's that? I wouldn't know who Wink Martindale was. If he ever guest starred.
I feel like Janine Garofalo was on.
When I was a kid. Okay.
I don't want to say.
Yeah. That's a good one. The 90s, guest stars on, hey kids, it's Ethan Hawke. Yeah. Wow.
A friend of mine, Nick, when you came, so Nick came on the Twitch stream that I do, twitch.tv/pixelgoblins, last week. And we were talking about how I've had a lot of concussions, because I have. And one of them is because I stayed at my friend Jack Burner's house, and I woke up in the middle of the night, because sometimes I have night terrors. And I kicked a shelf, and an Emmy fell on my head, and it gave me a concussion. Wow. And then I was like, Jack, why is there an Emmy just hanging out? And I learned that Jack's mom and dad were the lighting director and set designer for Sesame Street. And that they have an unbelievable quantity of daytime Emmys lying around their house. Because they just like rack up two every year. Just like all the time.
Now, when you woke up from the Emmy hitting you on the head, did you start writing spec scripts like right away? Did you just find a typewriter and just start? Yeah, the Emmy imbued TV writing power in you. I ran upstairs
to Jack's attic bedroom and took his old timey typewriter, all things he had, because my friend Jack, who I love, is a fucking dork. Oh, and started just banging out Courier font drafts. Yeah, it was, but that's a true story. It's one of my many concussions came from a Sesame Street adjacency.
It must have been tough to like write a script back before word processors, like the formatting. You're constantly like moving the typewriter thing over and over. Like
it's hard enough trying to do it.
Yeah,
just like in Google Docs.
Yeah,
you know,
writing. Even I use Final Draft because another one of my weird side jobs is writing screenplays, and fucking it sucks. And the computer does everything for me, and it's a hassle. It's a typewriter. Oh my god. This comic, what I like most about this comic, to get back to it, is that Oscar the Grouch is like insanely placid.
Yeah, he doesn't look. He doesn't look angry. He doesn't. He looks. Doesn't look particularly grouchy. He just looks calm and like he's explaining something to Heathcliff.
Yeah,
Well, his hand says that he's explaining something, but his mouth is closed. So who knows what is actually going on here?
It's like he just finished explaining to Heathcliff that, like, you know, man, like, it's possible that no one's ever made a real choice in their lives because the Big Bang happened and it's just vibrations through space and every thought you have is just cells vibrating from the Big Bang. You ever thought about that, man? Maybe you don't need to be so hard on yourself. It's just science, dude. And then he just stares off in the middle distance.
Yeah, to me, it looks like because of that stare, it looks like Heathcliff is the one who said that to him, and he's processing.
And Heathcliff's really proud of himself for reading, like, one chapter of a Michio Kaku book, just like I did.
But also, he's doing that, it like, Oscar's hand is out because he's like, hey, pass me the fish skeleton.
Yeah.
And then Heathcliff, okay, that could be it, yeah.
You know, blows his mind with some fucking science book stuff, and that's why he's like zonked out here.
He's like asking for the fish skeleton. He's like, oh, this again,
right?
Yeah, okay, yeah, I see that. That makes sense because he looks smug in this.
Yes,
he often looks.
He absolutely looks like a guy who would corny you at a party to tell you about the chapter of the Michio Kaku book that he read.
Also, Heathcliff's feet look scary. Is that true?
In what way?
They look kind of like, you know, like have you ever played any games of the video game series Diablo?
Sure. No.
A classic piece of design in the Diablo games is like little fleshy faces poking out from the walls and like they're screaming, but like they're trapped. His feet kind of look like those to me.
Yeah, they do look like little faces now that you mention it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's haunting. And I wish I hadn't had that thought, because now it's the only thing I can see in this image. But, like, they have this, like, haunting sort of, like, oh, no!
It is.
If he had one more toe, it might not because the
two toes look like ears.
Yeah,
if it were three toes, it would maybe look more like a cool haircut or not a face to me at all.
Yeah, three toes actually would still look like a face. It would just look like Bart Simpson.
Yeah, and that's fine. I'll look at a million Bart Simpsons.
Oh, I love looking at Bart Simpson.
I love looking at Bart Simpson. Despite his bad attitude.
All right, let's move on to May 7th. And again, let's remember there's a theme this week. So the Jolly Green Giant, a giant man from the produce section, is walking next to Heathcliff down the sidewalk. And and standing in the window of a house is Grandma and Grandpa Nutmeg, and Grandma's saying, he's been eating more vegetables lately. Now, do you think she's talking about the Jolly Green Giant or about Heathcliff?
I mean, I read it as Heathcliff.
Yeah. That's why I read it too. But then I had the thought, maybe she means that's why this guy is so big and green.
I was puzzling over this also as soon as this popped up. So it's the question America's asking. And like, I think they're talking about Heathcliff, because if they're talking about the giant, it almost implies like there's someone in the neighborhood they know who's eaten vegetables and become this giant green man. And they're just like, oh, you know, it's Timmy, but he's been eating a lot of vegetables. So now he's 12 feet tall. He's 20 feet tall and wears a toga made out of leaves. Like,
yeah, this could be Iggy.
It could be their son Iggy or their grandson Iggy, who ate a lot of vegetables.
To me, it seems like
it does beg the question: is the Jolly Green Giant a vegetable man, or is he just a guy who ate a lot of vegetables, who's just a fan of vegetables and modeled his whole look? Like, it made him big, But then he also was like, well, it made him big and green. And he's like, well, let me lean into it. And he made the little, like, leaf tunic.
I think we can sort of assume that is true. That feels right.
Okay. Yeah, we can.
I think in this comic, I keep wanting to say video. I'm not used to looking at still images. In this comic, I think the implication here is that Heathcliff's been eating a lot of vegetables, and this guy who's sort of like an avatar on behalf of vegetables and vegetable eaters has been hanging out more.
Just because, like, do you think he's hanging out with Heathcliff because Heathcliff's been eating more vegetables, or Heathcliff's been eating more vegetables because this guy's been hanging out with him?
I think it's that Heathcliff's eating more vegetables and this guy is here. I think the line right before this was Grandpa being like, why is that huge guy hanging out with Heathcliff? And then...
Well, this also brings up, like, how do you think the Jolly Green Giant and the man-eating giant get along?
Because they have man-eating giant, a character from Heathcliff as well.
They have to be at odds, right? They can't get along because one's a meat eater.
You don't have any friends that are vegetarian, Kyle?
Yeah, but they're not eating people.
Yeah, but maybe this is just like they're both kind of like a more for me situation. Like,
oh, that's true.
If you had two giants eating vegetables, you just would run out of vegetables, and the same with people. But like this one,
I think
it's a balanced ecosystem.
I think the man-eating giant hates this guy because look at this dude. He is an absolute Chad. He's completely chiseled. He's ripped.
Yeah, man-eating giant's kind of doughy,
and man-eating giant is like a real doofus looking guy.
Yeah,
he's got that dumb bowl cut, and this guy looks awesome. This guy looks cool.
This guy does.
This is a guy.
How do you think he gets his protein? This guy,
beans.
I mean, how do vegetarians get their? Yeah, beans.
Okay.
Yeah, green beans.
Okay, green beans. Do green beans have protein?
I don't know. I guess he does.
They are beans.
Yeah, they are beans.
Technically, okay. Right?
I assume, maybe mistakenly, that he only eats green food. But that I could be wrong. But that's just the vibe.
Well, you can get like Jolly Green Giant corn, right? They have like cans of corn.
But corn is green on the outside.
Damn.
Yeah.
Damn.
True. That's a great. And that's a great point.
What vegetables? What are your common vegetables, your most common vegetables, Lux? We like to use the comics to get to know, I guess.
Great question.
What are your most
common vegetables? My most common vegetables. So
really normal way to phrase that question.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, what vegetables do you eat most often might have been a sort of more human.
What vegetables do you like, fellow human?
Yeah. Greetings, fellow kids. So... Ever since Cass and I got the new air fryer, we've been doing a lot of zucchini and asparagus have been two big time mainstays. A lot of the things that I cook, because I cook a lot of Eastern European Jewish Holocaust survivor descendant food, is a lot of potatoes and carrots. Mm-hmm. So I'm big on that. Top five would be a cucumber. Because I am a big cut up a cucumber, put a little salt on that bad boy, snack time plate individual. So I think that my top five would probably be zucchini, asparagus. My most common vegetables are zucchini, asparagus, carrots, potatoes, and cucumbers, I think.
I'm gonna rule out cucumber because I think it's a fruit, but that's still a good Mount Vegetable more if we just take the top four.
Yeah.
Mount Vegetable more.
Yeah, sure.
Mount Munchmore. I guess that would be just food.
Yeah, Mount Munchmore. I'll confess this. My Mount Munchmore does not have a vegetable on it. It might have an apple if I've been really good, but like, there's no vegetable getting anywhere near that mountain.
Well, if you consider potatoes, I would probably put some kind of potato in my Mount Munchmore. I would, like a French
some
fry
kind of potato.
Or mashed potatoes, something like that.
Yeah, no, I mean, I love. I love them, but like. I
they
really
make the list. Okay.
I eat very unhealthily. I mean, like, we were talking about this on the stream. I drink multiple night coffees. If that's like a general indicator of my relationship to food and health, that's like a good sort of flagship warning sign.
Hey, man, here for a good time, not a long
hell
time.
Hell yeah, baby. You That's my doctor recently was like, everything's fine with you. And I was like, so I can just not change anything? And he was like, no, absolutely not. It means that you have to, like, right now. That's the thing.
He's like, the second half of that sentence was, everything is fine with you, and it's a miracle.
Yeah, exactly. Like, actually, that was the vibe.
Okay. Yeah, this is your last chance. Okay, so we have a comic from May 8th, Wednesday, May 8th. So this is Jimmy the Frog walking on the sidewalk. Behind him is Kermit the Frog, Michigan J. Frog.
Yep.
And then a frog, sort of a gangster-looking frog, smoking a cigarette, wearing a suit and a hat. And we've he's been identified. I'll have to look. I'll have to find it. And then next to him is another strange frog, a giant frog wearing a brown sweater with a F on it, and he's got a very sleepy look on his face. And in the background, Iggy and Heathcliff are standing. Heathcliff looks very proud, and Iggy is saying, "Jimmy has a posse." Let me look up. Do you know who these guys are, Kyle?
I do not. I mean, I know Kermit and Michigan J. Frog, obviously. But
I want to say the gargantuan frog at the back is Frog from Frog and Toad.
No, that's not it.
He doesn't have a little hat.
Yeah.
Somebody tweeted at us with who they were.
He'd be a little bit more dapper. Yeah. This guy looks...
Yeah, I think I was...
This guy looks like he doesn't eat a lot of vegetables.
Yeah, this guy looks... From, this guy looks like a couple of Emmys have fallen on his head. Like, he does not look 100% present in the moment.
It's somebody from a terrifying kids show. I know
is it like one of those like Sid and Marty Krofft guys?
It's like a similar thing to that from the New Zoo Review. That's what it is.
The New Zoo Review.
Okay. And then who's this Joe Pesci looking frog?
There's
Jesus
Christ no!
Almighty. Holy God. Look at that.
It's a 70s-ish show with this weird frog man.
It's very Barney adjacent, I would say, but like absolutely less Barney, well. Yeah. Yeah, very 70s, much more terrifying.
Yeah.
But I say that mainly because of the size. He is much bigger than this human woman that he is seated next to.
So this is Freddy the Frog from the News.
And I also do not like the way he is looking at her.
Yeah, I do not. The vibe I get off of Freddy the Frog in this picture is a friend of mine recently got hired to work for PR for some like fancy company, and he went to their fancy party, and there was a bunch of like online model people there. And he went to go talk to a lady, and she blew him off, and he went, "Do you hate me?" And she said, "Yes." And I get that's the energy that I'm getting off of Freddy the Frog is like would totally be dismissive, and then if you tried to like make them feel bad about it, they would just be like, "No, you are bad. Like your existence is a bummer to me." I think that's correct.
And the other frog, the gangster frog, is Chauncey Flatface Frog from Courageous Cat and Minute Mouse. This is.
Now this guy I like.
This is a good cool. frog.
This guy's cool as hell. This guy's got a stogie.
Yeah.
And a little, is his hat tilted to the side.
Yeah, he's just.
This guy's awesome.
He's ready to run booze across state lines. No problem.
This is a real meassy ass looking frog.
Yeah.
Shout out to Chad and Forrest Lastman for finding those frogs.
Thank you.
And point us in the right direction. And here's a little clip from the New Zoo Review opening.
It's the New Zoo Review, coming right at you, with three delightful animals at one with what they do.
Okay, this kind of goes.
Yeah.
They learn with their friend Doug and his helper, Emmy Joe.
With Freddy.
Charlie.
That is not how I thought Freddy was going to sound.
No, not at all.
Not even close to how I thought Freddy was going to say.
Oops. I accidentally sped up. But yeah, surprising sounds from that Freddy. Not a puppet, I guess. What is he?
It's like a mascot costume.
Mascot costume.
It's like a hybrid because the mouth definitely, you got a puppet.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah? Yeah, I guess so.
I think the Freddy's eyes in the Heathcliff comic are so much sadder than they are. I mean, I guess they are there too.
It's that expression. It's like
there's some kind of expression.
Kind of
frowning. He looks like he's
something.
Given up.
Yeah, right. There's
quite
like
a bit
haughty mischievousness with the photograph of Freddy, and then there's just like utter world weary defeat in the Heathcliff. One frog there,
like he's like, and maybe it's just a size thing, but he's like significantly older than the rest of the frogs.
Yeah,
and it's like, you know, I don't know if you've ever had like a friend like that that's like much older than your friend group, and it's just kind of like,
oh yeah,
he's your friend, but it kind of bums you out a little bit.
Yeah, come on, you gotta be figuring something out, man. Yeah, like they are missing one of my favorite frogs, and this is just a thing everyone should look up. There's a frog called Ro Rivas there's a video from the 70s, I think, called Ro Rivas Tells You About Worms, and it's this puppet frog who tells you all about how you can get worms. And there's a lot of great stuff in that video, but it includes him consistently using the phrase to refer to peeing outside as using the out of doors as a bathroom. Which I love. Just like something, go look at Ro Rivas Teaches You About Worms.
Yeah, we'll tweet out a link to that at Heathcliff Recap on Twitter/X. And also, speaking of Twitter and X, thank you to Robert Smith for also letting us know who these frogs are.
From The Cure?
I don't know. He's at Petectives on Twitter.
That seems a little bit different. That's not the. I wouldn't have pegged that as the at for Robert Smith, lead singer of The Cure. I don't think.
Could be though.
Could be.
We don't know. We have no way of knowing.
Could be.
Petectives.
Yeah. Frog Day. I'm in love. Okay. This is another thing about this that's very funny to me. This image is that, like Casino, Bootlegger Frog, Jimmy, Kermit, and Frank all look like varying degrees of kind of like. Bootlegger Frog looks kind of happy, but everyone else looks a little bit zonked and out of it. And then Michigan J Frog is just at 100% Michigan J Frog. He's like, "Hello, my darling. Hello, my darling." And like,
this also, I would say breaks canon for Michigan J Frog.
He's letting other people see him.
He's supposed to do this when people aren't looking at him.
Yeah, that's true.
I guess it was one person looked at him and he did it.
Yes.
And that, because the joke of the cartoon, right, was like that I have this dancing frog, and then the teacher or whoever would be like, "What are you talking about?"
Yeah. Maybe it's that if like compositionally, like Frank and Kermit are blocking him. So that Iggy and Heathcliff can't see. And so he's doing it. But if they were to move, he'd instantly join the others in their sort of zombie trudge through the streets of town.
Okay, good. I am satisfied with that.
I think there's stuff here. Why does Kermit look so sad? That's rough to me.
See, I don't think Kermit looks sad. I think Kermit looks like
he's got a little...
yeah, he's got a little... upturn. A little Mona Lisa smile.
But Jimmy is the leader. That's kind of the crazy part. Is Jimmy does have this Jimmy's not known for being in charge or for showing skill at all, much less leadership skills.
Yeah, but I get the vibe from Kermit that he's like he's like Robert Duvall's character in The Godfather. You know, he's like the guy who like is keeping everything together. He's like the organizer.
Yeah, he's happy to let Jimmy
He's like happy to let Jimmy be the front of things. But like if Jimmy starts fucking up, he'll sort of like pull things back on track.
He runs the show.
I do like that Iggy and Heathcliff are displaying like a really healthy sort of friendship relationship to Jimmy, where they're like, it's good that Jimmy's like found another community to be happy with. Like, they're not like jealous. They're not like making fun of him for like falling in with these weird frogs. They're like, look, this is good. Like Jimmy's found like a social place to live in. And like, I think that's a really healthy message for the kids. They're like proud of him. It's like our friend has like found a thing that makes him happy.
Yeah, it's great to see. All right, let's move on to the last comic today. It's Comic Thursday. So this is Yoda and Heathcliff running out of a fish store, the Elite Fish Market. Heathcliff's got a big fish right in front of his head. You can't even see his face. Yoda's, they're really sprinting. You can see like a cloud of dust behind them. And Yoda's hauling ass. And the fishmonger is standing in front of the store, raising his fist and yelling. And he's saying, "A rascal you are."
Incredible.
In Yoda speak.
This one's a banger.
Now, have you guys figured out the theme of the week yet? The theme.
It's copyright infringement.
I think I did, but I feel like they sort of missed the landing. Because the theme seems to be green.
Yes, that's my interpretation.
This is an extremely gray Yoda. This is like everything else has been greener than usual versions of themselves. And this is like...
I would describe him as mint. This is like
kind of desaturated Yoda.
Yeah.
Like, you're right. Like, it's mint. It's technically green, but it's like a lot less green than Yoda could be and often is. The AI generated...
I don't know. This looks correct to me. This looks like... Am I wrong? Yoda's old. He's got, you know, old, nasty skin.
Maybe this is like... Yeah.
I feel like he's even greener than this. Although I will say, this sheds some light on me as a person... The last time that I saw Yoda was someone sent me an AI-generated Yoda and Yaddle, like, sexy photo. And he was much greener in that
one. There you go. Yeah, I mean, he's, you know, all the blood rushing through his body.
Non-canonical that Yoda and Yaddle ever sort of were romantically involved, but that's fan fiction, you know, whatever.
I think it's, like, canonical that Yoda, like... fought Yaddle's appointment to the council.
Yeah, Yoda left Yaddle.
I remember
Yaddle
hearing that somewhere that he was like, he's like, "There's only one other of you, dude." And he's like, "No."
And she like got captured by bad guys, and Yoda was like, "Let's just leave her there."
Yeah.
But yeah, she, for like 100 years, I think she lived.
For like a long time.
She lived in like a basement prison for like 100 years.
Yeah.
And then gets out miraculously, and Yoda's like, time served you have.
Yeah. It's Yoda's a whack rapper in many ways.
His face here is insane.
Too old. He is always saying too old also.
Too old.
Anakin was like four. Well, how old was Anakin when they started training? It was like eight. Nine. Or something.
He's like, seven or eight or something.
And that's too old?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Because you can have ideas by that. You can have had experiences.
Too old to begin the training.
But then Luke like became a Jedi in like a month, right? Like So why do you need to be a Jedi? Why do you need to be in
training
your whole
life? But Yoda did it in
life?
Protest. Yoda didn't want to do it, but they were in a different situation. You
but
know?
If you
it
could
was
do that
dire.
In 1 month, like why do you have to be like 8 years old to be... Anyway, I'm sorry.
Because there's like a whole
moral
thing.
Luke proved him right. Luke ran away. He didn't finish the training. He was too old.
True.
He was too willful.
Yeah,
that's true.
And he left Dagobah to go protect his friends. If you're a little kid... And you grow up with the Jedi
ways.
And
I guess Anakin was right about Anakin, too. Anakin was too old.
He got it right.
All right.
But yeah.
The Jedi Council defender has logged on.
Look, I think I have a lot of issues with Yoda and the Jedi Council, but you can't deny that for his goals, maybe wildly misplaced ones, he was doing a good job at executing his bad ideas. He does. I want to go back to his face in this, though, because he do be looking crazy.
He looks insane. Yes. It's like Yoda and the yak. There's like every once in a while, there's like weird hyper realistic faces that show up in Heathcliff, and it's like when Ren and Stimpy would have like a extreme close up of a character.
Yeah, totally. That's very much the vibe here because it's wrinkly. You can certainly You can almost like get the sense of like dryness coming off of him because he's not in his swamp.
Yeah, do you think this is CGI Yoda or puppet Yoda?
I think puppet Yoda for sure. CGI Yoda is definitely way greener than this.
Yeah, CGI Yoda was much younger.
You can kind of feel the texture in this drawing too. Yeah.
I like that
feels tactile.
I like that Heathcliff's face is covered because this really is like a Yoda comic featuring Heathcliff.
Now, why didn't Yoda just use his powers to get the fish?
He could have gotten out of there any fast. I mean, what could he have done?
He could have just said, "Give me the fish you want to."
Oh, yeah, mind trick.
Or just floated the fish out.
Yeah.
But I guess that's right.
But like that takes all the fun out of it. Like he's trying to have a he's trying to have like a challenge with his friend Heathcliff.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, this is kind of like Yoda wanted to see what it's like to be a normal person, so he came to Westminster to live with Heathcliff for a while. Yeah.
Live like you, I will.
That would be a good sitcom.
And he's always running into situations where they tempt him to use his powers, but he doesn't want to do it.
Yeah, you know? I think that's a good fun premise, is like Yoda just living in town.
Yoda, there's a talent show coming up at school. Are you going to enter?
I cannot.
Cannot I? Wait. Cannot I?
What?
No.
Not can I?
Not can I.
I also...
No talent I have.
He's like, you made a plane float out of a crash, in the river, you made it fly in the sky. You know, just like, not for school.
Told you that in secret, I did.
Yeah. I...
Hate you, I do. Whoop will I go to?
Yeah, he walks in, then force slams the door closed. Not my real dad, you are.
Born I never was, I wish.
I really like also the like size of fish relative to Heathcliff here.
Yeah.
I like that he's going,
it's a big fish.
Going big with the fish. Well, it's a real big fish.
It is the elite fish in market.
Burton style. Yeah.
It is
guys,
elite.
Guys, it is elite. We're running late, but I gotta... JP, the game master, he made us a quiz. So I gotta play the quiz. Right,
Heath quiz.
The JP I love to hassle is...
The very same JP is our... He's our game master.
Oh, wonderful.
Okay. Well, we don't need the music. Do we need the music?
Can I get it to play? People want the music.
Is this too loud?
No, it sounds good.
You can hear me?
Sounds okay, yeah.
Okay.
Spooky scary.
So I talked to JP today and I said, hey, I was thinking about making a frog quiz. Do you think you have time to make one? He's like, yes. Didn't have time to do the quiz. He couldn't be on the show today, but he did send me a bunch of questions. Now, so here we go.
Jucking me. Unbelievable. He'll be hearing about this. He'll be hearing from me about this.
Okay, first question. This dish, found in a variety of cuisines, but often associated with Spain's northern neighbor, is said to taste like a certain fowl, known to be a frequent object of affection of what big-nosed Muppet? Oh, and the fish we were talking about is frog legs.
Wait,
that's not a question.
The question is buried so deep within there.
This
the
dish...
The question is, what is the dish?
No. The question is, it's known to be a frequent object. Okay, what's the fowl that it tastes like? What certain fowl does it taste like? Known to be a frequent object.
Okay, what do frog legs taste like?
Yeah, the dish is frog legs.
Okay.
The dish is frog legs. I'm going to say chicken.
Yeah, we're going back to the beginning of the show, and it's chicken.
It is chicken, yes.
Gonzo loves chicken.
Exactly.
JP, it was chicken. My Jeopardy board, so we can learn how to write questions.
he hit the answers too. He like blacked them out. I don't know how to read them. Okay, wait. Let me. I guess I got to open this document a different way. But I assume the answer was chicken.
I love frogs. This is just JP catching endless strays at the end of the show. Which is what a joy. This is the best reward I could possibly get for doing this.
Frogs are known to exist on every continent except this continent. Where Wilford Brimley once did battle with a certain shape-shifting extraterrestrial, not to be confused with the one that's likely to drive up your phone bills. Frogs are known to exist on every continent except this continent.
No, I got it.
so it's not the extraterrestrial's not ET.
Buzz.
Yes, not ET.
Antarctica.
Yeah.
The answer is Antarctica.
Are you sure? Can you read the answer?
I was able to read it. I was able to read it now.
He cracked and solved the puzzle.
Oh, let's get that music going again.
Yeah, for a second, I thought it was a two-question quiz.
Well, tie game.
Famous for its dishes like the Rasta Pasta and the Amazon Rainforest Burger, the Rainforest Cafe is also known for its rainforest theming. Part of this theming includes the Wild Bunch, its kooky cast of jungle friends that includes this cuddly red-eyed tree frog. What is the frog's name?
The difficulty level increased.
These are two of the easiest questions I've ever heard. Like, sort of, like, syntax aside. Two, like, an impossible question.
Listen, in JP's defense, you did ask him to put this together today.
Okay.
Well, he's got a hint. It's akin to a kind of Cuban dance, or something that a very funny person might yell out between the lyrics of the Happy Birthday song.
A Cuban dance. Man, I don't know.
I feel like there's like I Carumba thing here, but
let's try to sing the happy birthday. Okay. Happy birthday to you.
Oh. Cha cha?
Oh, cha cha cha, yes. Good love that.
It's cha-cha.
Let's
go! So,
Kyle,
you have 1 point. Okay, well, he's got a bonus question here for that one. How many rainforest cafes are currently operating? Closest wins.
I'll say 34.
Wow, that seems so low to me. I'm going to say 52.
The answer is 22, so Lux gets it.
Wow!
So you guys are tied up there.
Hell yeah, let's go.
Wow.
Okay.
Wait, you get equal points for the bonus question?
Okay, Kyle, you have 1 point, and Lux, you have 1 bonus point.
Okay,
so
which
we'll
is
that
less
shakes
than.
Out. Yes.
Okay, got it.
The frog
is... half a point?
The frog is dead and buried. That's how WB chairman Garth Ancier announced the death of this popular cartoon frog in 2005.
Well,
yeah.
The reason for which head of programming David Gianellari stated as, "The frog was a symbol that perpetuated the young teen feel of the network. That's not the image we now want to put out to our audience. Look away and you might not hear this famous cartoon frog belt out hits like Moonlight Bay and Hello My Baby."
I mean,
I think we all know the answer. Wait,
they got rid of him. They got rid of him because the frog was too associated with teens.
Yeah, because
yes.
It's like a show and tell frog.
Like, we're not doing that baby shit anymore. We canceled Dawson's Creek. We're getting rid of the frog that everybody.
It's time for Bloodline. We're entering our Bloodlines era.
Michigan J Frog. Yep.
Okay, yes, yeah, we all knew that. Yeah. But so still, we'll say now Kyle has 2 points, Lux has 1 point, and a bonus point. Okay, question. According to WCS.com, when frogs swallow food, they'll push this organ down into the roof of their mouth to help push the food down their throats. They'll push this organ down into the roof of their mouth to help push food down their throats. This is according to WCS.com.
Is it the uvula?
Kyle, give an answer.
I'm gonna say tongue.
Let's see. It's their eyes.
Whoa.
Oh,
cool.
Shit.
Frogs fucking rock.
Yeah, push down. That's awesome.
Yeah, frogs are weird, huh?
Hello.
Yeah.
Okay, we got two more questions. Engaged to a frog named Amanda, this spacefaring toad is comrades in arms with a rabbit, a kaiji pheasant, and a red fox, and is commanded by the bloodhound commander-in-chief of the Corneria Defense Force, General Pepper. Okay.
Buzz. Slippy.
Yeah.
Slippy Toad.
Slippy from Star Fox. Do a barrel roll.
Yeah, it's
fox.
Slippy. You guys both got it. So that's 3 for Kyle, 2 for Lux, plus a bonus point. And final question. This famous Swedish biker frog had 2 worldwide hit singles, a canceled movie, a popular ringtone, and his genitals removed in 2005 after complaints to the UK's Advertising Standards Authority.
That would be crazy frog.
It's crazy frog.
That's right. Okay, Kyle, you win it with a score of 4-3 plus one bonus points, I think.
Yeah, that sounds right.
All right, let's stop the music.
Good stuff, JP. Thank you.
Thank you, JP.
That was great. I wish you could have been here to read it. You would have read it better than me. I was stuttering a lot on that, cold read. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Lux. Is there anything else you want to tell us about? You mentioned Pixel Goblins.
Yeah, you can check out Pixel Goblins on Twitch. You can check out Keep It Together on YouTube / maybe in a theater near you. We'll find out. We haven't decided if we're going to start doing live shows yet. We'll be doing Fight Opera June 22nd at Austin Beer Works. And you can see the video essays and philosophy stuff that I do on Wisecrack. And I think that's everything I'm doing that's publicly accessible right now.
Awesome. Thanks so much for joining us, Kyle. Thank you for joining me as my co-host.
As I do every week. You're welcome, Nick.
Thank y'all for having me. This is super fun.
Yeah.
Kyle, do you want to sign us off?
Until next time, that bothers me.
Wow.